Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Hey, I've got a question for you. If you can click your fingers, just snap your fingers like that and give health insurance to all poor people in America. And it would not cost anyone a dime more in taxes. You can just snap your fingers like that. And automatically, all the poor people in America had health insurance. Would you do it? That's my question for you. 1-800-8-N-Yart. 1-800-836-9278. If you could snap your fingers, and automatically, all the poor people in America would have health insurance. Would you do it? And if we get an answer to that, then we'll do this news story about the 38 million Americans that lack health insurance. And then I have a question for those in the audience who don't consider yourself hardcore right-wing Bible-believing Christians, right? If you're not that, if you're not a hardcore right-wing Bible-believing Christian, and you were to take a guess, if the American Librarians Association were to go to court to fight for something, would they fight for A, protecting children from pornography over the internet, or B, making sure children had access to pornography over the internet? A or B? Now, I'm not asking right-wing Christians this because they know the answer, but I'm asking the moderates, if there are any moderates out there, or even a liberal. Our phone number is 1-800-836-9278. That spells out 1-800-8-N-YART. And so if the American Librarian Association was going to fight for one or the other, would they fight to protect children from internet pornography or to make sure children had access to internet pornography? Which would they fight for? Right, that's question number two. Now, hey, for those who missed it last night, the U.S. is prodding Israel to lift the travel ban so a terrorist leader can attend the Arab summit. How's that? Now, why would our government urge Israel to allow a terrorist leader to travel to the Arab summit? Why would we do that? I don't get it. Why would we encourage any country in the world to allow any terrorist to go anywhere other than to an electric chair? Well, maybe that's it. Maybe the U.S. is planning to bomb the Arab summit. No, that's not it. Oh, man. I thought maybe we had something interesting going on there. Okay. Now. And also, a couple other stories we're going to do. I've got this article mailed to me from an Indiana newspaper, the Herald Times. And a high school teacher bit the head off of a sparrow in front of his wrestling team. Now, it was a live wrestling team. And it was also a live sparrow. And he bit the head off the sparrow, and now he's been charged with animal cruelty. So the question here is, was it a clean bite? That's the question. We'll get to that story. Oh, and also in the same paper out of Indiana, same page, March 15th, 2002, the Herald Times, page D4, a school employee, public school employee, former now, He has been charged and he's admitted to making a pornographic video with a 17-year-old boy. And he did it to help the boy because the boy was camera shy. That's his actual defense. All right, so we'll get to these stories. But first, let's go to the phones. In Denver, Will, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Will. Hey, Will, speak up, please.
Okay.
I can't hear you well.
Can you hear me now?
No, not at all. It's pretty horrendous, in fact. And I'm gonna put you on hold, see if our engineer could improve the quality of the call, and perhaps we'll get back to you. All right. Now, so there are the questions so far. If you could snap your fingers and give health care to all the poor people in America, health insurance, would you do it? And then would the American Librarian Association fight to protect children from pornography on library computers or to get children access to pornography? Which would they fight for? Right? Now, and also, was it a clean bite? Maybe somebody in Indiana knows the answer to that one. Let's try Will again. Hey, Will?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Not real good. I think we're going to have to get your number and work on your call another time, Will, and I apologize for that. I don't know if it's your phone or our phone. But let me tell our members of the audience, this is, I think, exciting news. In Denver, Channel 7, the ABC affiliate, now I don't know if it's still ABC, some years back the Denver TV stations all did a switcheroo of the dials, and so what was ABC is now CBS, and now ABC, and it's all confused. But a technician who worked at ABC in Denver for 18 years recently left the company, recently left the station. He did their sound for 18 years. He was their sound engineer. And he called me up and he said, Bob, I'd like to come over and help you guys. And he gave us about a half a dozen things to do, what we have to do to improve our sound. And this guy is good. And let me tell you about this guy. This guy told me something years ago that he told me this, and Ollie North later read, it was read on the Ollie North radio show, what this guy, David, from Channel 7, what he had told me. Bob and Aaron Live has been on the air in Denver for about 10 years. And this guy from Channel 7, he said, Bob, let me tell you a story about your show's influence on the people who work here at this ABC affiliate. He said, of course, this affiliate is as liberal as can be, and pro-abort, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, pro-socialist, pro-everything that Christianity is for, they're against. And he said, but let me tell you what's going on. Not only am I a fan, but there are 5 fans here of the Bob and Yurt Live show at this ABC affiliate. And he said, there's one guy who's not exactly, he's not Christian. He's really what we would call, well, he gets around with the ladies and it's bad. And I want to tell you what Dave told me that happened to this one guy at ABC.
My name is Jason Troyer, and I do volunteer work here at Bob and Yart Live, including the commercials you hear every night. I moved to Colorado from Indiana almost 3 years ago to help Bob and his ministry because they changed my life. I'd like to invite you to benefit from this ministry as well. Easter is just around the corner, and despite what you may have heard, Easter is not about cute fuzzy bunnies or colored eggs. Easter is the day our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, just as he said he would. On Easter Sunday, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, will not only talk about the resurrection, he will also present the evidence for the resurrection. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again the third day is not a myth or a fable. It's a fact. If you live in the Denver area, whether you're a Christian or just have questions, we want to invite you and your family to join us March 31st at 10:50 for this special sermon. You'll also have the opportunity to not only meet Bob, but also Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob Friday nights, Tony Funderburk, who sings the opening theme to Bob Inyart Live, and even little old me. For directions to the church, call us at 303-463-1707 or web to denverbiblechurch.org and look at our map. For those who don't live in Colorado or can't make it, we'll also make audio cassettes of the Easter sermon, as we do with all sermons, so you won't miss out on this great evangelistic tool. For those of you who have never ordered from Bob Inyart Live, we'll even make this tape available free of charge. Call today to reserve your copy, 1-888-836-9278.
We're back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'm telling you about the story that was told to me from an 18-year veteran at the Denver ABC affiliate. Oh, by the way, talk about a rabbit trail off of a rabbit trail. ABC, the Denver affiliate, they had their evening news at 5, at 6, at 10 o'clock in the evening, Channel 7 News. And they had their set that they spent, what, $100,000 to build a new set. And on a Friday evening, the Channel 7, they used their set for the last time. And their set is now, they got a brand new set. After a couple years, they changed their sets out. Monday evening, Bob Inyart Live comes on TV in Denver, Channel 53. And I'm sitting on the Channel 7 news set. It's just unheard of. That doesn't happen. You know, in major markets, this Denver's what, the 18th major market in the country, with a network affiliate newscast, the sets don't go from one TV station to another, from the newscast to a radical right-wing Christian talk show. But because my friend Dave was working at Channel 7, he pulled the strings, and we got the set. It was huge. It was just an unbelievable coup that we got. So I go on the air, Bob Inyart Live, and I'm the only one on this huge Denver Channel 7 news set. It was just so funny. So we used that set for a year or so. Well, anyway, he tells me this story, and this story then became a part of my resume. My resume as a talk show host, this story is the introduction to my resume. And that's what was read on Ollie North's radio show. Okay, introducing me as a guest one day. It was that the ABC affiliate in Denver had an employee who was immoral and would do his best to seduce women, which is terrible. And he started telling a coworker at Channel 7, and the coworker is the friend of mine. He started telling a coworker that a married woman was trying to seduce this other employee, the bad guy. And my friend looked at him and said, "And?" Because that's exactly the kind of thing this guy would want to do. He said, "And?" And the bad guy said, "Well, I don't think I should give in." And my friend Dave was in shock. He said, "Why not?" "Well, I've been watching this show on TV, Bob Inyart Live, and that guy says that if you have relations with a married woman, you should be put to death. And I don't think I should give in to this woman." And Dave said, "Well, congratulations. That's a very good conclusion you've come to." And it was a good conclusion. And people, now I don't know if that guy ever became a Christian or not. And I don't know about the other people that this 18-year veteran, their sound technician, I don't know about his other friends there, but I know that he just called us and said, "Here's what you got to do." And if you've got the money to buy a new mixer and some new equipment and to rework your studio, we told them what kind of mics we have. What do we have? What do we have? What kind of mics we have? We've got Electrovoice RE20s. And he said, perfect. Perfect mics. Shock mounted. You got all that right. Anyway, over the next couple weeks, we're redoing our sound system. And we hope that with his help, we can sound as good as Channel 7. We'll find out. You guys out there will have to let us know. Okay. Now, so let's go through these stories here. All right. If you could snap your fingers and give health care to all, you could give health insurance to all the poor people in America for free. It wouldn't cost you or anyone a penny. It's just, and you did it. Would you do it? Would you do it? Should you do it? Well, if you would do it, it would be a very cruel thing to do. It would be cruel of you to snap your fingers and give everyone health care. You know, God could snap his fingers and give everybody health insurance. God can do that. He can afford it, but he doesn't do it. Why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he do it? In fact, why stop at just health insurance? Why not the best health care? Why not the best health care possible? 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. All right, now, you know, we get so many answers over instant messaging at AOL, at kgovlive at AOL.com. I don't know, maybe our audience, we might have more than our share of introverts, and they'd rather not say the answer. They'd rather, look at this, they're just popping up like popcorn. They'd rather not say the answer. They'd rather type it out on their keyboard. I might have to shut off my instant messaging. It's too easy. Hey, so what we call it, the cruelty, the tragedy of American compassion. When you give people free stuff, whether it's free housing or free food or free health care, if you give people free health care, then parents are no longer motivated as they would have been to do well financially to take care of their families, themselves, and their kids. They're no longer motivated. And if you give them free housing or subsidized housing or free food and free education, the more things you do for people, you give them for free, the more welfare benefits they get, then the more you destroy. And every time you give more, you destroy more. So when you really give a lot, when you're giving billions and billions of dollars worth a year of welfare, you're destroying millions of people. And God, in the New Testament, he says, if somebody will not work, he shall not eat. It's a command. He had Paul write it. Paul wrote it. And he wrote that this is a command, that he who will not work shall not eat. Because hunger, God gave us this mechanism of hunger to motivate us not to be losers, not to be bums, not to be professional homeless alcoholics. So God commanded, if they won't work, don't feed them. But liberals, and so often liberal Christians, they say, oh, God wants us to love our neighbor. Yeah, he wants you to love them, not to kill them. You're killing them on the installment plan. So here's this, a group of big businesses and insurance companies and hospitals and unions. They've got $10 million they're spending to try to get health insurance for 38 million Americans. Now, what's going on here? You know, they don't have health insurance, these people, but sadly, they have a lot of health care because they just go to the emergency room and they get their health care there or through a huge network of government clinics. So they get health care, but they don't have health insurance. But why is it that God, it's the same reason that God cannot protect children from the wickedness of their own parents. Why couldn't God insulate Andrea Yates' kids from her own evil? If some innocent kid has a dad who's an alcoholic, and that alcoholic, because of his sin, he's hurting his child, why couldn't God have some bubble law in effect where the sins of the parents cannot harm the kids? Why can't God do that? He could do it physically. But why doesn't he? Because God loves kids. So why doesn't he do that? It's for the same reason that we shouldn't snap our fingers and give health insurance to all the poor people in America. It's because it would hurt more than it would help. It would hurt for God to put a bubble around kids so that their parents' sins could not harm them. It would hurt more than it would help. Why? Now, most people never bother to think about these things. They just think, well, the world is a terrible place, and you know, people who hate God, they blame God. Or atheists, they say, well, there must not be a God. There must not be a God, because if there was a God of love, surely he wouldn't let people do things like this to their kids. He wouldn't let a drug addict father bring so much hurt and misery to his child. Why does God do that? Because think of the consequences if God put a bubble around every child so the child could not be hurt by the sins of the parents. If God did that, would parents be more inclined to live a righteous life and responsible for their children, or less inclined? Well, if a parent could be a drug addict, immoral, a thief, a rapist, whatever, and their children never be hurt as a result of their crimes and their sins, then parents would become even more wicked than they are right now under the current system. They'd become even more wicked. And you say, well, so what? That's the parents. At least you're protecting the kids. No, that's too short-sighted, because all those kids grow up to become parents. They all grow up to become parents. And if they grow up in a world where their actions have no consequences on even their own children, then you almost certainly will damn them to hell. You will almost certainly damn them to hell. And that's why. I mean, that's why they call conservatism heartless. And they say, liberals, conservatives have no hearts, and liberals have no heads. But in reality, it's the right-wing Christian who knows compassion. And it's the left-wing liberal who, the tragedy of liberal compassion in America, the millions of lives that have been destroyed. And not only, you know, you look at the inner cities in America, and now pretty much they were so utterly destroyed, now they're being rebuilt by the wealthy that are capitalizing on the property values that went to nothing because of all the crime and the drugs and just the gangs. And so the welfare destroyed the ghettos and the inner cities, minority communities. Welfare utterly destroyed them. And in the same way it did that to individuals and families and communities, it destroys nations and continents. Africa has been destroyed by more than $3 trillion in foreign aid. And now we have George W. Bush. I got the story right here. George W. Bush announces an increase in spending of an additional $5 billion to be spent over just 3 years for foreign aid. Call that increased welfare for foreigners. Goodbye, Denver. Let me tell you about our Bible studies. Right now, we're in the book of Romans. At Denver Bible Church, I am the pastor. For those of you new to the show, you might not caught it at the top of the hour, but my name is Bob Enyart. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And on Sunday evenings, I teach a Bible study. We've been doing this for years. And we record them and then ship them out to people around the country who participate with us. And not only do we receive the most wonderful comments from our friends all around the country about how excited they are when they get their tapes, because just studying through the Bible is such a huge, huge blessing. So not only is it a blessing, apparently, to our friends around the country, but it is the single most significant support that we get here at Bob Enyart Live. That's how we keep this ministry going. And so I'd like to urge you to consider signing up for our monthly Bible studies once a month, somewhere around the middle of the month. You get a mailing of 4 Bible study tapes. And right now we're in the book of Romans. And I have waited, and this is not an exaggeration, to teach the book of Romans. When I became a Christian, I started studying the Bible aggressively. And I realized that the book of Romans was his master thesis. The book of Romans, the greatest theological work ever written. And I knew that to teach the book of Romans, you really had to understand the Bible. And I put it off and put it off. I became a Bible teacher early in my Christian life, and I put it off for a quarter of a century. And now, after having taught through many other books in the Bible and seminars from Honolulu to Pittsburgh, all over the country, Bible seminars, now for the first time, I'm teaching through the book of Romans. And it's humbling and it's thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling. So if you sign up for the monthly Bible study, you can't start with Romans. We don't want to do that to you. I mean, I didn't start teaching Romans. You start with our overview of the whole Bible called The Plot. What's the plot of the Bible? You start with those tapes. And every month you get 4 tapes. And then you get the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we go through different books of the Bible, and then eventually you get to the book of Romans, and you'll love it, or we'll give you your money back. Call us at 1-888-8-ENYART. We're back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We have an instant message here from Alabama, from an audio, this is an audio company. Anything for audiovisual, we'll get it for you. Tell us what you need. Hey, that's pretty neat. That's exciting. That's cool. Too bad we already got our mixer, which we'll be installing tomorrow. But, hey, we've got so many neat friends from all around the country. Really neat people. And we're so thankful for that. All right. So we're finishing up this topic of, if you just snapped your fingers and you give every person in America, every poor person, health insurance, well, then, you know, the people in the middle class who work hard to pay for their health insurance, some of them will be envious. And they'll say, look at that. These poor people are getting their health insurance for free. And I got to pay $400 a month. What's with that? You know why? Because I'm making too much money. If I only made, all I'd have to make is $2,000 less a year, and I'd qualify for the free health insurance. $2,000 less a year, and I'm paying $400 a month. So $400 a month, that's $4,800 a year. I could drop $2,000 a year in business. I could make less money and be better off. And so you suck people down the drain, the giant national flushing sound, as you suck them all into misery and poverty because your misguided compassion. So just snap your fingers and send another million people to hell. Just snap your fingers and send another million people to hell. Because God wants our societies to live justly and with righteousness, uprightly, for the laws to be righteous and good. He doesn't want our society to be based on stealing and immorality and the shedding of innocent blood like they are. And stealing money from struggling families and giving it as foreign welfare. Where's that idea come from? Oh, yeah, that's right. I know why the Bush administration is increasing foreign aid by $5 billion, because the Constitution says you should do that. Oh, wait, it doesn't say you should do that anywhere? Oh. Well, then they must be getting it out of the Bible. Oh, the Bible doesn't say you should do that? Well, they're getting it from somewhere. Oh, the liberals. That's right. The liberals say you should do that. It's not the conservatives who say you should do it. It's not the right-wingers. It's not the Bible. It's not even the Constitution, for that matter. But the liberals say you should increase welfare spending. And that's what we do. I think of all the times I've heard Rush, and I like Rush. I like to listen to Rush. I think of all the times I've heard him defending Republicans against liberal accusations, saying, well, look, George Bush Sr., he's increasing spending for welfare and food stamps and housing. He's increasing education spending. He's increasing this and that and that. And Rush is saying all that as a way of defending a Republican president. And I'm thinking, Rush, that's exactly what conservatives don't want. We want less spending. That's a failure. If the government is spending money doing things it shouldn't be doing, and then a Republican increases the spending, that's not a talking point for defending him. Unless you want to undermine your own party and your own side's understanding of right and wrong, if that's your goal, well, then it's working. What a shame. So in this society we have, where even the good people don't know right from wrong, that's pretty much America. America's the land where even the good people don't know right from wrong. Move over, Prairie Home Companion. We're gonna start a new fantasy. The land where even the good people do not know right from wrong. That's America. Well, how about the librarians? Now, if ever there was a good person, it'd have to be a librarian, right? What kind of vice could a librarian have? That Miriam, the librarian, she was a mess too, if you recall her. Robert Preston, the music man. Boy, was that an anti-Christian musical if ever there was one. But at any rate, if there's ever a good person in America, it must be a librarian. And if the librarians have gone to court in Philadelphia, of all places, where the birthplace of our nation, if they've gone to court to battle regarding children and internet pornography, surely they're going there to fight to protect kids so that kids will not have access to pornography over library computers, right? That's what they're going for? No, that's not what they're going for. They're in court to fight. The federal government has said that if a library allows children access to pornography, then that library cannot apply for federal money, grants. And so the Library Association, the American Library Association, is fighting in court because they think that they should have the right to run government-funded libraries in which children have access to internet pornography and get the federal grants. That's what the American Library Association is supporting. And that's not a new policy, by the way. That's been their policy forever. How could it be? How could it possibly be? A library of all place? A librarian? The American Library Association? How could they possibly take that stand? Because men are basically evil. Liberals think people are basically good. Somebody sent me a clipping of a cartoon, and the cartoon is called After Eden by Dan Letha. Dan Letha. And a woman asks the pastor, and they're blacks in the cartoon strip. It's a black pastor and a black woman. She says, "Pastor, is it biblical to say that people are basically good?" And he said, "Yes, at sinning." That's right. People are basically good at sinning. Amen. That's true. That is true. They're basically good at sinning. People are not basically good. They're basically bad. That's why the history of the world is basically miserable. Man's inhumanity to man. And so we've got the Library Association fighting for the right to have government-funded computers on the internet at which children could sit and have access to pornography. They're fighting. They do not want to have to filter the library computers. They don't think, you know how the liberals say it takes a village to raise an idiot? Oh, no, that's what Hillary said. How the people in Africa say it takes a village to raise a child. And the liberals here in this country, they like that, right? They say they like that saying. So if it takes a village to raise a child, then that means the whole village is concerned and they're all willing to sacrifice for the sake of raising a child. But liberals won't even sacrifice to this extent that there'd be filters on library computers so little boys and girls can't stumble upon pornography. And this idiot of the American Library Association, Judith Krug, spokeswoman, might be a spokes guy for all I know, Judith Krug, allegedly with the American Library Association, Judith says that they have to teach people, they have to teach children the difference between right and wrong. And that's the real solution. Okay, Judith, you explain to the seven-year-olds what it is that they should be avoiding on the internet, and then have one of your pals work to get the 13-year-olds to obey you. You blithering idiot. And it's more than being an idiot. It's being evil. And it gets me mad when people take policy stands that damn children, that destroy children. You know, should the government be funding libraries? No. God drew boundaries around what the government should do. God told us that the government, in the Bible, you find out what jobs did God give to the government? And you find build good roads and criminal justice, armies defending the nation from criminals and from enemy armies. That's what God said. Criminal defense and infrastructure, bridges, roadways, airwaves, waterways, canals. That's what God said the government should do. Not diapers, not food, not housing, not education, not health care, not libraries.
We all know Bob Enyard is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive 4 sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the weekly worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We're back. Bob and you're live. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. Now, by the way, since I criticized Rush a little bit, let me give one other small jab. Because I really enjoy listening to Rush. I fought to help Rush's radio show succeed on Denver radio 10 years ago when I went to every advertising agency in Denver personally, walked in the door, and showed them Rush's ratings and the unbelievable deal at advertising selling ads on his radio show. And, you know, because Rush was a conservative, they wouldn't have nothing to do with him, even though his audience was huge in the early days, even. It was huge, and they'd have nothing to do with him. But I think of all the times I've heard Rush criticize Clinton, and believe me, criticize Clinton to the end of time, for all I care. All the criticism I heard of Clinton, that Clinton has no backbone, that he sticks his finger in the air and he takes polls and he sees which way the polls go, and then that's what he does. Now, you've all heard Rush, if you listen to him, criticize Clinton like that about 1,000 times. But if you think about it, you've also heard him 500 times criticize Clinton, because it's clear that the American people wanted one thing that Rush was in favor of, and Clinton was not listening to the American people. Now, how can you have it both ways, Rush? How can it be? And I like Rush, and I hate Bill Clinton. But Rush, how can you have it both ways? How can you criticize him for following the polls and not for going along with the majority? You can't do that. And to me, what that is a symbol of, it's a symbol of a where your principles are not really based in absolute moral issues or absolute principles based on godliness and based on right and wrong. They're based on absolute party politics. They're based on being a Republican. And being a Republican is the exalted principle of many who are conservatives. That is the absolute. That's the one thing you don't violate. If there are other principles, like don't commit sexual immorality, don't murder, and don't steal, those they can find exceptions to. You could compromise on those. But don't dare compromise on republicanism. Which, by the way, Jesus never liked the publicans. I don't know if you've read the Bible enough to know that. He didn't like the publicans, and now we're taking a second shot at it. We got the Republicans and the Democrats. Let's go to Springfield, Massachusetts. Bill.
How you doing, Bob?
Hey, I can hear you, Bill.
How you doing? This is Bill from Springfield. I just want one question for you and just a comment on it. We have a lot of charismatic Pentecostal churches out here.
Yeah.
And just like one in particular, they teach salvation by works, which is not biblical. But they also teach that perfectionism, and basically you're perfect, and if you happen to, say, do something wrong, that means you were never saved. Or
if you sin at all.
But yeah, and basically, you know, you blow up at the top and you go off the handle or something.
They're not the first to teach that some Nazarene churches, it used to be quite a few, and now some teach a second work of grace, where now you've been anointed in that you will sin no longer, and you'll never again sin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's plenty of evidence in the Bible that, you know, even the Apostle Paul had not arrived yet. And look at the Apostle Peter and his sins.
Right.
And look at King David and his sins and Moses and his sins.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through the Bible and Abraham and Jacob. So you don't have to go far in the Bible to find the great men of faith and the terrible, terrible things they did. The only man who was sinless was Jesus Christ.
Correct, right.
Because he's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one, I would say that's one of about 200, you know, errors that are somewhat common in the Christian community.
Well, they go so far as to tell somebody that they wouldn't be saved if they didn't believe that.
If you don't believe it.
Right.
Right, right, exactly. And then if you fellowship with somebody who doesn't believe it, you'll be disfellowshipped.
Right.
So pretty soon you exclude everyone except your own congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's just your congregation is saved.
Okay, one more question.
Yes, sir.
In you guys' Bible study, how deep do you go into the original Greek text as far as, you know?
Well, we teach out of the English.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand your question, Bill. I studied Greek at college, and at Bible College, Nyack College in New York State. That was back in the 70s. It was a long time ago, but I seem to recall I did well in it. And then on my own, I studied some Greek. And then I started studying Greek when I moved to Denver at Derby School of Theology.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not proficient at Greek. I'm not an expert at Greek, but I enjoy looking at the Greek text and studying the Greek text when I think it's important to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally we will talk about the Greek words, and especially when the Greek words have important meaning that's not brought out in the English translation. Let me give you an example. We taught the Gospel of John recently.
Right.
And you know the passage where Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Lord, you know I love you." And he says, "Do you love me?" And he says, "I love you." And Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter was so devastated. He said, "Lord, I love you." Now, in the English, you miss the whole point. Because in the Greek, there are two different words going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the word love for agape and the word love phileo. And Jesus says, "Peter, do you agape me?" That deep, committed love.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter says, "Lord, I phileo you. I have a friendly feeling toward you." He didn't have the courage to make the commitment to say, "I agape you." So Jesus said again, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter said, "Lord, I phileo you. I have an emotional love toward you, but I can't say that I agape you." And then Jesus said, "Peter, do you phileo me? Do you even care for me as a friend?" And that's why Peter was so devastated, because he had just denied Christ three times.
Right.
And it was a real sad dialogue back and forth. And if you were completely unfamiliar with the Greek text, then you miss that.
The whole point.
Oh, and it's such a strong and dramatic dialogue between Peter and Jesus that John captured for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about the Greek and the Hebrew, although I don't know a jot or tittle of Hebrew.
Right.
But Greek I've studied in a classroom setting for about 3 years total, and on my own, and I have Greek lexicons and texts that I access. But does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just wanted a quick comment from you on it.
All right. Hey, Bill, thank you for calling in.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, when God had the Old Testament written mostly in Hebrew, and then about 200 years before Jesus came, the Old Testament was translated into Greek in Egypt by order of the king, so that the king could have the Jewish scriptures in his library. So they translated, the rabbis translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. And by the time Jesus was born, that Greek translation was pretty popular because many people spoke Greek. They spoke Hebrew, the Jews did in Palestine, and Greek, and Aramaic, and this and that. You know, people were multilingual throughout most of history. And when Jesus and the apostles were speaking, they often, when they were quoting the Old Testament, they often quoted the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew scripture. And when they wrote the books of the Bible, frequently they quote the Greek Septuagint rather than the Hebrew scripture. Very interesting. And they had the Hebrew scripture available, and that was the original. But they did the other. Let's go to line two. Line two, Lynn, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, thank you so much for what you do.
Oh.
And I was listening to tonight's show, and I was just thinking about how, you know, we don't get this kind of information anywhere else. Oh. I mean, you are a singular source of right thinking, and I just thank you so much for what you do.
Lynn, that's very, very kind of you. And I don't know about that, about a singular source, but I do know it's pretty hard to get Christian leaders to talk about and act on biblical principles.
It is. That's, I don't hear it anywhere else.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult.
And look, I know you only have a minute or so left, but I'm going to call your office tomorrow and order your four Sunday sermons.
You are?
But instead of what you're asking, I want to pay you double.
What?
And I want to encourage anybody else who values what you're doing
Lynn,
the same.
Lynn, where are you calling from?
Alabama.
Alabama! Oh, wow. That's twice Alabama came up on this show. And Lynn, I don't know how to thank you, and I'll give you an hour to cut this out.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to your family also that I'm sure makes sacrifices for all that you do.
Well,
Good night, and God bless you.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynn. Boy, is that nice. And when did she say tomorrow she's going to call? I should have put her on hold and had her call screener take the order. I don't think like a businessman. What's wrong with me? Hey, we've decided to do this to try to encourage people to sign up for either to make a monthly pledge so we could stay on the air in Texas, in Odessa, Midland, Texas, or our newest affiliate, or to sign up for the monthly Bible studies or the sermons. Or even we can mail you the 8 best radio shows of the month. We call it Best of Bob. The first person who calls up after the show to order one of those, I'd like to talk to you, take your order, and let you know how much I appreciate it. So to do that, after the show, you could probably get away with calling 800-8-NYAR, but there goes our order line, which is 1-888-8-NYAR. And that's encouraging. So maybe I should talk to the first two people. Because I said after the show, and that one came before the show ended. But, really, if you'd like to sign up for one of our monthly mailings to get some of our Bible teaching resources, Bible study tapes, you know, might be the best thing that we offer. And the monthly sermons. And if somebody says, hey, I want this show to stay on in my city, and you could call to make a pledge to underwrite Bob and Yurt Live on your radio station, whether you're in South Bend, Indiana, or Rochester, New York, or Springfield, Chicopee, Massachusetts, or Odessa, Midland, Texas. Who am I missing? I'm missing somebody. Denver, Colorado. Call us, and we'll take your call, and thank you. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.